Hello, my name is Professor Smada Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Iyov, Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. In Chapter 4, Eliphaz HaTemani, Eliphaz from Yemen, responds to Iyov. In Chapter 3, as we saw, Iyov curses the day he was born, and that death is better than life, and a life of suffering is not worth living. We saw in Chapter 2 that the friends originally were silent and could not say anything. They were dumbfounded by Iyov's plight. What can you say when you come to comfort your friend who lost his whole family, all his wealth and possessions, and is now sitting mourning in the dirt, wearing a torn sackcloth? When we come to the house of a mourning person, a Beit Avel, we wait for the mourner to speak first. And that halacha is learned from Iyov. Now that Iyov spoke and curses the day he was born, they feel the conversation has begun. In these chapters, we will hear from the three friends and hear their views and Iyov's responses to each one individually. Eliphaz's words also start with the word vaya'an, and he responded. He is responding to Iyov's cursing the day he was born. Verse 2. Hanisa davar elecha til'e ve'atzor b'milin miyuchal? Eliphaz cautiously says that he will try to speak to Iyov, but he does not know if he will listen to him. But he can't stop his words from pouring out, because he must respond to Iyov's tirade, cursing his life and the day he was born. This is how Ibn Ezra and Ramban understand this, that Eliphaz feels he must respond, even though it will tire and anguish Iyov. Being silent would imply that they agree with his views that death is better than life, and that Iyov is blameless and unjustly punished. Rashi explains, God afflicts you and tests you, and right away you become weary? So of course you need an answer and a response. Why are you so quick to abandon all your previous beliefs? A crisis befalls you and you crumble so quickly? So now Eliphaz begins the substance of his response. Verse 3 to 6. Hinei yisarta rabim v'yadayim rafot tachazek. Koshel yikimun milecha uvirkayim korot teametz. Ki ata tavo elecha til'e, tiga adecha vatibahel. Halo yiratcha kislatecha, tikvatcha vetom derachecha. Behold, you have chastised many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words would pick up the stumbler, and you braced faltering needs. And now, when it comes to you, you're bewildered. Your anger towards God now proves the inadequacy of your original fear of heaven. Rashi explains, you were the one who defended God when people criticized events in life that they interpreted as divine injustice and said there's no justice in this world. You were the one who strengthened them in their faith. You were the one who helped them cope and stand up tall. And now, when evil befalls you, you are frightened and confused and can't answer? So it seems clear that your original fear of heaven was foolishness and not substantive. Because now, when it touches you, you're not responding in that same way, defending God and accepting his actions. In positions where people give advice and guidance, whether you're a rabbi, a teacher, a mentor, a friend, a psychologist, it's always easier when you are removed from the issue. You can be very philosophical and clinical. It's easy to dole out advice. But now that the shoe is on the other foot, Eliphaz says, all of a sudden Iyov does not understand all the platitudes and succor he was doling out before. According to Eliphaz, Iyov was in the habit of giving counsel and defending God's divine justice. But now when he himself and his children and his wealth are afflicted, and he's the target of God's wrath all of a sudden, oh, now there's no divine justice. So really, Eliphaz starts with an attack. He's really going for the jugular, in a sense. These are harsh words, because Eliphaz is pretty much telling Eov that he's a hypocrite. He's definitely not giving him nechama, consolation. Imagine you are sitting Shiva, and the people who come start giving you musar and arguing with your reaction to your tragedy, and they start to philosophize and explain why this happened to you. Especially if it is a great tragedy like Eov experienced, it is even harder to bear. That is what's happening here. Keep this picture in your head for the next several chapters, because this conversation, practically the whole book, is taking place in a house of mourning, even though it might not be the first 7 days. Eliphaz in verse 7 begins with a classical response about divine justice and the order in the world. He begins, Zechorna mi hu naki avad. Have you ever seen the innocent and upright destroyed? Eliphaz is saying that the good and upright never perish. Ka'asher ra'iti chorshei aven v'tzorei amal yiktzeruhu minishmat eloka yovedu u'meiruach apo yichlu. As I see it, says Eliphaz, only the wicked perish and are destroyed by God. So obviously, Eov, you are being punished for sin, for evil. It can't be that such profound torment is random and not deserved. Now, we know that this flies in the face of the opening chapters that clearly state that Eov is good, upstanding, God-fearing, and shuns evil. But also remember, what happens in the heavenly tribunal up on high is separate from what happens on earth. Eov doesn't know the conversation that's happening in Shamayim, in heaven. He doesn't know the role of the Satan saying, okay, let's test Eov, and God saying, all right, we're going to test him because I know he is so good. Eov has no clue why all this is happening. When bad things happen to good people, we try to make sense of it because we want the world to make sense. And if God is good, then there must be a reason for people's suffering. Usually God punishes sin, so Eliphaz is saying, it must be because you sinned, Eov, that all these catastrophes have befallen you. It can't be uncalled for. Eliphaz feels he must defend God against Eov's criticism that his torment doesn't make sense to him and is not just. And it's not fair, and it's better if he never lived. Now, in the end of the Sefer, God actually criticizes the friends and defends Eov, that Eov is upright. And we know from the beginning of the Sefer that this is a test, and God thinks that Eov is upright. So, in this whole conversation, we're not so critical of Eov as Eliphaz is. But we also know that Eliphaz's ideas reflect a lot of what's going on in this world and how we make sense of it. Eliphaz continues in verse 12. I had a vision in the dead of night when everyone else was asleep, and a terror and a quaking shot a tremor through my body. A spirit hovered over me and gave me goosebumps. It paused. I couldn't recognize its image and features. There was a silence, called Mama. And then I heard a voice. And this voice said, verse 17, Hayenosh me'eloha yitzdak? Im me'osehu yitzhar gaver? Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can a man be purer than his maker? Verse 18. Hen be'avadav lo ya'amin, uve'malachav yasim tahala. Verse 19. God does not trust his servants and even finds faults with his angels. So if God does not trust the super righteous or the angels, then certainly God does not trust mere mortal, maggot-ready humans. verse 20, who spend their waking hours without thought or contemplation. Eliphaz is saying that he had a prophetic vision. And the Rambam, Maimonides, explains that only Moses saw God clearly face to face, and all others see a vision at night or in a sleep-wake state where their body trembles. So Eliphaz is saying, this is not what I think. What I'm telling you is prophecy. I had a vision last night, a prophecy, so to speak. There's no prophetic vision in this book which says, Vayomer Hashem El. There's no prophecy. That's why Sefer Iyov is in Ketuvim, in the writings, because it's not a prophetic book. But Eliphaz is saying, I had a vision. He's pretty much saying, I had a prophetic vision. And he is saying, this is not what I think. I had a vision. This is what God thinks. I'm just the mouthpiece. And what is the vision that I have? A mortal cannot be more righteous than God. So Iyov, if this happened to you, just say, God did this to me because I was bad. It's a punishment. And just admit it. Rashi explains in verse 20 that in one day people can be crushed and destroyed and do not think at all about doing teshuvah, meaning Eliphaz is saying, if this happened to you, God did it to you, and he did it for a reason. So do teshuvah, because even the angels and even the most trustworthy servants are not perfect. So clearly, you have to do tshuva. That's what God is telling you to do. That's why these things are happening. Ibn Ezra explains that people live their lives without any attempt at contemplation, trying to figure out the important things, why things are happening to them. So Eliphaz is saying, if you think about what's happening to you, you'll see you have to do tshuva and repent. And the Ralbag explains, most people go through life without any of attempt at self-perfection. And all these people who think they know everything about the world and do not have to perfect themselves or repent, they die without wisdom. Which means Eliphaz is pretty much telling Iyov, think about what's happening to you. Do tshuva. Obviously, this is coming to you as a punishment. So Eliphaz is criticizing Iyov. He is telling him that he must have sinned, and that's why God is punishing him. If only evil are punished, then Iyov is definitely a sinner. Repent, he tells Iyov. Don't stand on ceremony and say you don't deserve this. You must have. Otherwise, why such a punishment? Even more righteous sin and angels are not perfect. So you think you're an exception? That is the substance of chapter 4. Eliphaz is not comforting Iyov. He is confronting his views on divine justice and is blaming Iyov for his tragedy, because God must be just and only punishes evil. That means that Iyov must be evil. Again, Eliphaz does not know what happened in the heavenly court. So the casual view in the world is that only sins get punished. No concept of a trial. No concept of struggling in other ways. So this is the end of chapter 4. Next time we will do chapter 5. Thank you for studying together L'Ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.